Anyway, we are in, what week are we in? Two? I should know that. We are in week two of Legacy of Leadership, and we're going to be talking about Moses today. Moses is an interesting guy. Especially when a lot of us know the stories and stuff, and we, think about Moses, like, oh, okay, he did all these things, and we kind of know the surface, but then when you really dig in, I mean, this guy had some struggles. I mean, he's very insecure in a lot of ways, right? He was worried about different aspects of himself and had a struggle with that stepping out in faith and doing some of that stuff when he was called to it. But then he later on is obedience. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But last week we looked at Abraham and his legacy of faith and Abraham's willingness to trust and obey God even when the future was uncertain. He laid the foundation for a life of faithful leadership, and it shows through his leadership shows through his trust and really blind trust. God called him to be the father of nations, and he was older, and he's like, I'm too old to have a kid, and all these things, and he just stepped down in faith, and how could this happen? But he just was obedient and honored God by that obedience. And then obviously we talk about him, 4,500 years later, we talk about him. We're preaching about him and thinking about him. So, and this trust and this action impacted future generations, even to us today, all stem back to that. And this week we're going to turn to Moses and another monumental figure in God's redemptive story. And Abraham's life teaches us to step out in faith, whereas Moses' life teaches us to stand firm in courage. His story is a powerful reminder that that courage is not about having all the answers, but trusting the one who does. I want to say that one more time. His story is a powerful reminder that courage is not about having all the answers, but trusting the God who does. Today we're going to explore some key aspects of his legacy. We're going to talk about his response to God's call, his boldness and his bold leadership in the face of fear, and enduring impact of his faithfulness to God's people. Now Moses is here's the one part. If you're taking notes, I definitely want you to write this down. Courage is not the absence of fear. Anybody know the John Wayne quote? Courage is not, I forget how it goes.
Not being afraid,
but saddling up anyway. Something like that. I know someone has this somewhere, but courage is not the absence of fear. Fear is a normal response. If I see a rattlesnake right at my feet, I'm going to freeze. That's a normal response. And then I get about 5 feet away, and then I'm tough, and I'm okay with it. But if he's at my feet, curled up in strike mode, yeah, I'm going to have a normal response, the fear response. Fear is not the issue. It's how we respond to that fear. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the willingness to act in faith despite that fear. Moses' leadership legacy is defined by his courage to follow God's call and to stand firm in the face of fear and opposition. His story reminds us that courage is not that absence of fear. He was afraid. Let's say we're going to take a look at Exodus chapter 3, the first 12 verses, to kind of get this the general story, and then we're going to dig into the rest of the message and what we can take away from that. So let's take a look here. One day Moses was tending to the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. I don't know about you, but that would be like the rattlesnake scenario, If I'm seeing a bush on fire, but it's kind of like a godly thing like this, it's going to kind of freak me out. I have to admit that. Moses stared in amazement. He's probably dumbfounded. He's probably like looking at it going, I don't know what to say to this. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. That shows some pretty good reverence right there. I mean, he knew exactly what was going on in that moment. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the opposition of my people in Egypt, and I heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites now live. A lot of people. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt. Pretty clear direction. But the Moses protested to God. Who am I to appear to Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people out of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. So the first thing we want to talk about or think about in this storyline is that Moses' journey begins in a moment of awe and fear at that burning bush. He sees that burning bush, and what's he do? He's like, ooh, what is that? That is amazing. And he goes over, and as soon as he hears from God, what does he do? He looks away, he covers himself. There's an awe, there's an attraction, but at the same time, there's a reverence and a fear of that. And God calls him to this extraordinary mission to confront the Pharaoh and lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. That's a big mission. Here, you know, we know the story. He left, he killed somebody, he left, he ran off, ended up in the desert, got part of this, you know, this nomad group, and ended up marrying. Years have gone by. I mean, we're not talking a few years, and now he's calling back. I think, if I remember right, about 40 years has gone by, and here's God calling him to go back to the Pharaoh where he ran off from. Moses immediately reacted, his reaction is deeply human. He voices his fear. He's like, God, I don't want to do this. I'm afraid of that. How can I go back there? I killed a man. I mean, he didn't say this, but I'm just imagining what he's thinking. It's like, how can I go back there to that place? He voices his fears and his inadequacy, saying, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring these folks out, these Israelites out? And God answers him with a beautiful response, which he says all through Scripture and also into Jesus says it to his apostles, I will be with you. The same assurance that Jesus gave his disciples centuries later, surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age, in Matthew 28:20. And that certainly applies to us today. The courage that Moses needed didn't come from his own abilities. That courage didn't come from his own confidence. He didn't go, you know, all right, God, yep, no problem. I'll take care of this. No, he had this fear, and it wasn't about him. He needed that reassurance from God that God is going to be there. He's not going to just leave him for his own devices to figure out. He was going to be there the whole time. And that's definitely true for us today. As we feel this, we want to serve God. We have this desire to serve God. But so many times, we our own criticism of ourselves, our own inadequacies, or how am I going to do this? And we get into our own heads and all kinds of stuff. And we think, well, how is this going to work, God? And then we start causing hesitations and creating our fears. And the fear, like I said, is natural, right? First time I preached, I was, or even thought about preaching, I love, fear. Anybody have the fear of public speaking? Yeah, it's kind of a common one, yeah. Don't worry, I won't make you come up and use that as an example. Where's your faith? No, I'm kidding. But, you know, when we start getting in our own head and think about our own inadequacies, it stops us from moving forward. And we don't step out in faith. And that's what Moses was doing here. And that's true for us today. As we think, okay, I want to serve God, but how many people want to serve God, but they actually don't do it? And they might even feel called by God, but yet we overthink it. And that's what Moses was naturally doing. He was thinking about this inadequacies. But it takes courage to respond to God's call. And what is courage? It's not the absence of fear, but having that faith to continue on or to take those steps forward without all the information, without every detail. I'm an overthinker. I'm very much an overthinker. If I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, here's where I feel God's calling, or I'll sit there and dissect that for weeks, and I'll just sit there and overanalyze it all. And then I end up stressing myself out, of course. And I have to, this is just the way I am. But here's the thing is I'm not really acting in faith in those moments. What I'm doing is I'm trying to plot it out in my own head. But what faith comes in, it's an act of obedience. It's saying, okay, you know what, God, I trust you. I'm going to step forward. I don't have to have all the answers. Now, it doesn't mean we don't plan. You know, you have the two farmers that both pray for rain, and one of them goes out and prepares the crop, and the other one sits back and says, oh, God will, you know, grow it. Which one's the more faithful one? The one that actually went and prepared. So yeah, there is a preparation involved. But he got called to this and he just, okay, I don't want to do this. So God had to work on him a little bit. So I want you to take this into consideration. Consider areas of your life where God is calling you to step out of your comfort zone. Perhaps it's leading a Bible study. Perhaps it's sharing the gospel with people. Maybe it's the start of a difficult conversation. Maybe it's to take a leap of faith in your own personal life. Like Moses, you might feel that inadequacies. You might feel that fear. But God's calling is never about your ability. God's calling is never about you. It's about what he can do through you. Courage begins with saying yes. And trusting that he'll provide the strength and the resources and the guidance needed to accomplish what he has planned. See, courage isn't that absence of fear. It's obedience in the face of fear. You don't have to have all the answers. You just need to trust the one that does.
Amen.
Thank you. Even when you're scared of the outcomes ahead, remember that God's presence is the source of your strength, not your own. I want to share a quick video of this young man, and I actually remember when this was on the news and stuff, when it happened. But here's an example of somebody that just didn't know the outcome. He just was being obedient to the Lord. Take a look at this.
My story starts freshman year of high school. I couldn't drive to get to the before school meeting that some of the upperclassmen were holding for prayer. So I decided to start one during seminar, which is a free period. And we started in the gym, just sat on the gym floor. And we just had 5-10 of us pray and pray for each other and pray for different issues that were facing the school and praying for our teachers. And then that was freshman, sophomore, junior year, really consistent with 10, 20 people maybe. And the first meeting of senior year was 30 people. Soon we had 90 kids coming twice a week during their free period to pray and worship and just fellowship under religious liberty. So about a month into senior year, after this meeting was really picking up steam and we were all really encouraged and it was a really strong community, I got called into the vice principal's office and he told me, "Hey Chase, we have to stop this prayer meeting just due to separation of church and state. Hope you understand." And I didn't understand, so I pulled out just some laws from my backpack that I had from freshman year, and I told him, "Look, we do have the right to pray. Other kids are using this time to play pickup basketball games or talk to their teachers or talk to their friends and play video games on their phones, whatever. So I think we can pray." So the next day after I met with the vice principal, it was supposed to be our prayer meeting Thursday morning. So I got everyone together. There was roughly 90 kids there. And I said, "Hey guys, the principal and vice principal have asked us not to pray during this free period. We're going to seek more counsel. We're going to figure this out. But for today, we're not allowed to pray together. Let's honor our authority. Let's just go pray throughout the halls in private." So we wound up having to ask for help from Alliance Defending Freedom, and they filed a federal lawsuit on our behalf to gain our religious liberties back. And it took the entire rest of the senior year for that battle to be won. And right before I graduated, a couple days before, they wound up filing an affidavit saying that we can pray during free time, which now sets a precedence for other students in public schools. So 4.5 years after this whole thing, minding my own business, and all of a sudden the White House reaches out asking for my story. And then about a month after they reached out about my story, they invited me to the White House to meet the president and share my story with him.
I remember thinking I didn't want to file a lawsuit at all, but after many meetings unsuccessful with...
So a couple lessons that I learned was, first, just to trust in God and rely on community of faith is really important, and that I realized more than ever when it was taken away that a faith community in public school is a really important thing. And so I made sure to keep that up outside of school hours. Now, as a youth pastor, I always tell my students to live out their faith in big and in small ways. And it doesn't have to be starting a prayer meeting. And it doesn't especially have to be involved in a federal lawsuit. It can simply be being kind to a teacher that's difficult, or actively loving the bully or the people who are overlooked at school. And it's really important to just boldly live out the faith.
What a cool young man. But that obedience, you know, just being faithful. You know, courage stands firm in the face of fear. Moses' courage was further tested when he faced Pharaoh's resistance and the doubts of the Israelites. One of the most dramatic moments came in the Red Sea, when the Egyptian army is closing in, and the sea, it's the armies behind them. They have the Red Sea in front of them, and what did the Israelites do? They started complaining and panicking and kind of freaking out. And you know, we see it now with media being so prevalent. You know, you get a crowd going, they can erupt in very quickly, right? You know, one little thing starts, and next thing you know, the whole crowd is going crazy. And so, you know, I'm just imagining that there's these tens of thousands, or I don't even know how many right now off the top of my head, but maybe let's say 1 million people there. All these people are running, escaping, and they're afraid already, and then they're stuck between a rock and a wet place, the sea. And they're panicking, they're crying out in fear. And Moses responded with this remarkable faith and boldness. And what is he saying in this verse right here on the screen in Exodus 14:13? He says, "Do not be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again." Never seen again. Did you know that researchers have finally put in like these camera drones and all this stuff in the Red Sea, and you can see chariots turned upside down and all this stuff? There's evidence that this happened. It's so cool. You should check out the pictures. I have to admit, there's kind of the guy side of me is like, "That's right. Don't mess with God's people," you know? And I'm like watching these things, just kind of commentaries and stuff. But Moses' courage wasn't based on his own strength, but the trust in the Lord in the Lord's power to save. He trusted the Lord through it all. I mean, think about it. You have this huge army coming, and you're looking over here, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, here's the water. We don't have a boat, especially for this many people. I don't know how many can swim." You know, and what are we going to do? We're going to die. That's probably what they were thinking. But he turns around and says, don't be afraid. Trust the Lord. Stand firm, and you'll see the Lord has in store. His leadership demonstrates that sometimes standing firm in faith means choosing to trust God's deliverance before it's visible. That's what that young man did. And I thought it was funny that when he got called, this was his senior year, right? So he's been in school for 4 years. Senior year, he happens to have the law. He made a comment about it. He goes, well, I pulled out these laws that I had from freshman year. And I'm like, it's almost like he'd already kind of like, okay, someday this is probably going to happen, so I'm going to keep this in my backpack. I don't know any teenagers that keep anything for 4 years. But yet, he had this. I wonder if he had it laminated or something, like, okay, ready to go. But that was great. He doesn't know what's going to happen, but he was faithful day to day and just like, okay. And it grew from what? I think 30 in the beginning roughly, and then it went to 90. I mean, that's amazing. God moving in that school. And then, like he said, it takes precedence. Take a look at what Winston Churchill says about courage and fear. He says, fear is a reaction. Courage is the decision. I like that. Like Moses, we are called to make decisions to stand firm even when fear surrounds us. There's been many times in my personal life that I have been afraid. As an adult, as a Christian, I have had fear. Fear of the uncertainty, fear of my own inadequacies, fear of the outcomes, fear of everything. Fear of life in general, fear of having kids. When the kids were born, I was afraid. I was in shell shock when Jenny was pregnant with Christian, my oldest. I sat there for probably a day or two just like staring at the TV. Like, I couldn't think. I was in shock. I was afraid of getting married. Like, I love Jenny and I proposed, but just the whole, I'm like, oh my gosh, what if she doesn't like me later? You know, it's like, there's fears. And so, but here's the thing. It's not my strength that got through that. God was working through those moments. God is working in our lives, whether we see it or not. So when we have those fears, we have to do something with it. For us today, standing firm might mean holding on to God's truth in a culture that pressures us to compromise. It might be leading our families, our churches, our communities through seasons of uncertainty, through pain, through suffering. We might be leading our community and trusting that God will make a way, even though sometimes it feels like there's no hope. Sometimes you look around, you see our culture in our country today and how divided it is in so many ways. Sometimes it can be heartbreaking, and we can feel this thing, like, I don't want to say necessarily fear, but like, is look at it. Or we witness to our family, or we're friends, or we're trying to share the gospel. We're like, look, there's so much better. Why are you know, going through this suffering so much? Lean on God. He'll help you through. It doesn't take away all the pain, but you know what? It's definitely better than going through it without him. And we see that, and sometimes we just have to trust the Lord through those times. And trust that even though there seems to be no way out, there is with the Lord. So my question for you is, what challenges are you facing right now where God's calling you to stand firm? Maybe you have your own personal story of something where you need to stand firm on, and you're struggling with whether it's fear or uncertainty or worry, whatever it may be. What challenges are you facing right now where maybe God's calling you to rely more on him and to focus on him through that and lean on him and not on your own understanding? See, for us today, standing firm might be holding on to some of God's truth in a culture that pressures us to reject it. See, courage leaves a legacy of deliverance. As the final chapter of Moses highlights the legacy of deliverance and courage he left for his people of God, through his obedience and his courage, through his faithfulness, the Israelites experienced freedom from slavery and entered into a covenant relationship with the Lord. So how does that apply for us in what I just read? That slavery, even though we might not be slaves in the sense that the Israelites had in Egypt, but there are many people that are enslaved today, whether it's pornography, addictions, alcoholism, lie, cheat, steal, whatever it may be. There's people that are suffering and enslaved for all kinds of things. But through Moses' obedience and courage, others, and our obedience and courage, others can see that, or we can help them get delivered through that bondage that we see today, including our own. This wasn't just about Moses, it was about God working through him and blessing an entire nation, and that continued on, and the 12 tribes of Israel continued on, and then we eventually get Jesus Christ in that line, and guess what? We have this beautiful blessing of Jesus today. It was all through God working through Moses and others of the legacy that we're going through, the series we're going through. As we learned this week, faith impacts future generations. And so does courage. Faith impacts our kids, our grandkids, our neighbors' kids, our community's kids. And we talked about this, I think it was last week, how if you look at my genealogy and my family tree, I had a great-great-grandfather, somebody that was a preacher, and you can see the spiritual, what they call a genogram, a family tree, but it's a very fine line. It's just a thread. But because of some faithful people, one here or there in my family tree, each generation, I am sitting here today preaching. And I am here today as a believer in Jesus Christ. And now my wife and my kids also have that faith. And it has nothing to do with me because I was rejecting God for a long time. But God revealed himself in me. And then eventually I shared the gospel with her and God convicted her. And then we raise our kids in the light of Christ. That's generational. That's the legacy that we have. And I know some of you, I know some of your kids and grandkids. Well, I don't know your grandkids, but I know your kids. And I know that's also true in your life. See, as we think about this, faith impacts future generations, but so does courage. When we step out in faith and we step out and go, you know what? I am afraid, but I know God is there. Guess what's going to be a witness by our family? A strength and a reliance on God that will impact them in their lives. So as they grow up, or as they go to have kids, or as they go into the world as believers, they will go, you know what? I remember my dad being strong even though he was afraid. He relied on God during those moments. He was vulnerable, but he had faith. He was broken, but he had courage. That's generational. That's generational change. Moses' faithfulness pointed the Israelites to God's power and presence, laying the foundation for their journey into the promised land. Take a look at this. Deuteronomy. There has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The Lord sent him to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land. With mighty power, Moses performed terrifying acts in the sight of all of Israel. The reason why I chose that verse is thinking about that very first line there. There has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. We don't talk about Moses and his running away from God. We don't talk about, oh, Moses, you know, here's a great example of him not having faith and running away. No, we talk about Moses as a man who was insecure and struggled and had a lack of self-confidence at times, but he was obedient despite of that and followed the Lord no matter what. And even tried to talk to God out of it. Like, okay, God, come on, do somebody else. But no, he was like, no, I want you. Fine. I'll do it. John Maxwell's a former preacher, senior pastor of Skyline Church in San Diego. But now he writes a lot of books on leadership, and he's got some great books. But he says this, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. I really like that. Moses lived this out. He demonstrated that leadership is rooted in courage and has the power to transform lives. Think of Harriet Tubman, who courageously led the slave people to freedom in the Underground Railroad. Think about the Rosa Parks, who stood her ground and made changes in people's lives. You know, I was thinking about, as I was thinking about the examples, and there's so many. David Livingstone, Lottie Moon, there's hundreds of missionaries. And I was thinking about this one story, and I really need to find her name. But there's a story. It's a Southern Baptist missionary was called out to Africa. She was a single, I think she was in her late 50s or something. And she was called out to, she felt this call to go to Africa and share the gospel and be a missionary. So she went out there and spent 5 years there and went to village after village after village. But when she got there, she had a translator, a local tribal guy that knew a lot of the languages. And so they traveled around for 5 years, traveling, trying to share the gospel to all these little villages. And she spent all this time, and she was, they were throwing rocks at her, spears, they were chasing out, almost killed multiple. I mean, the story is just terrible. She just went through all this stuff, and for 5 years she felt like a failure. She got on, getting on the plane, she was just broken down, discouraged, and she thought about it, and she said, she's in her memoir, she said that she goes, I felt like I just wasted 5 years. And so this translator that she got to know very well and became close friends with him, she gave him her Bible, the one that she used for those 5 years. Well, that young man went off and went back to those tribes and went back to all of them, all the different areas, and shared the gospel. And the Southern Baptist Convention or the International Mission Board has calculated approximately 25,000 people have come to Christ from that young man. And what they have found out that, and when they looked at the story, they realized that, yes, she was not successful numerically, but what she ended up doing is discipling this young man because of courage and faith, discipled him for 5 years. So that when he was, when she left and he stepped into her place, he had such a faith and a courage, he was able to lead others to Christ, and chiefs and tribal leaderships were coming to Christ, and they've been able to calculate the numbers. She was obedient. She didn't see the outcome, but she went. And that's what I think about that courage to go and step out in faith regardless of what it is. We don't have to understand all of it. She felt like a failure when she was done, but you know what? We know that over 25,000 people came to Christ because of her efforts. Directly from her. How will you leave a legacy of boldness, faith, and trust in his unfailing presence? In your life, acts of courage, whether raising children to know God, serving your community, or standing for truth, can have a rippling effect beyond what you can ever imagine. Your courage today could inspire somebody to take their own leap of faith tomorrow. So where is God calling you to be courageous? Where is God calling you to take that step of faith? How will you leave your legacy behind? Moses' story challenges us to lead with courage, knowing that God is with us in every step of the way. We've seen how he responded to God's call, stood firm in the face of fear, and left a legacy of deliverance for people for generations to come. But his story also invites us to reflect on our own leadership and our own courage as we look at his story and we look at this and go, okay, this is an amazing story. We read about this 4,500 years later. We're talking about it and we see his example. But how does this apply to my life today? I live in little Midville, Idaho. We're just a small church. I'm definitely not a Moses. You know, I like Moses. I definitely stutter sometimes and put my foot in my mouth, and I can't read some of my verses very well at times. But I think that's God's way of, you know, keeping me humble. Go, oh, you're getting a little too big for your britches there, Chris. I'm going to make you mess up. But it's a story that invites us to reflect on our own leadership and our own courage and the courage we need to follow God's call. So how can we live out this courage in our own lives? How can we stand firm in the face of opposition? The first step is a step forward. Identify the areas where God's calling you to step forward. It might be that difficult conversation. It might be a bold decision. It might be a new ministry opportunity. It might be something that you have a heart and a passion for and you just feel it, but all these other reasons talk you out of it. All these reasons, all these barriers are like, no, can't do it. It's not the right time. It's not this. It's not that. We make excuses for ourselves. And it's not that we're making excuses and because we don't care. It's just we see in our minds, we see the reasons why it won't work or it's difficult or should I do this? And there's so many times in our lives, in our marriage and stuff, we don't know what the future holds. And it gives us a little bit of anxiety about it. It's like, do we really need to do this? Is this where he's really calling us? And it might be that bold move. It might be that huge thing that it gives us a lot of anxiety and worry. It's like, I don't know. I don't like this feeling. I don't know about you, but I have general anxiety disorder, and it bugs me when I have anxiety. It drives me nuts. I hate it. As a matter of fact, Dan and the leaders pray for me every Sunday for my anxiety to make sure I'm good for preaching. But the cool thing is God's there through my inadequacies. Trust that God's presence will go with you just as it did with Moses. So there's step forward in faith. Take that action step. Stand firm. Resolve to stand firm in your faith even when fear or opposition arises. I could talk myself out or into anything at any time. Right, sweetheart? I am my own greatest salesman. I can talk myself into just about anything. But resolve to stand firm in the faith, even when fear or even when my own thoughts are hindering me or even talking myself into something. Draw strength from God's promises, remembering that he is your refuge and strength in those times and in the times of goodness. So we got step forward. Stand firm. And the next one is build a legacy. Consider the legacy you're building. What is your values in your legacy? Values are things that are so important to me that I do not budge in it. My family is a value to me. That's something that's so solid and so foundational that I will do everything I can to not I'm trying to think of the word now. See, I'm having a Moses moment. I'm like, I can't, I'm stuttering now. See? Values are those things that are so important. They're not ethics. Ethics are like frameworks of how to make decisions. Is this ethical or not ethical? Or is this right or wrong? But values are deep. They're foundational. I don't value certain things. Material items are not super important to me, but my family is. So I make decisions the best I can to make decisions on what's best for my family, and that's a value. And when I don't, when I make a decision that violates that value, guess what I feel? Shame and guilt. Mostly shame, because I broke my own values. So consider the legacy you're building. What is important to you? What are the values? What are those core values that are important to you that you want to make decisions based on that? Who are you influencing through your courage and faith? Like Moses, are you having that boldness to inspire others to trust in the Lord and follow his leading? What are your values? Is it seeing more people come to Christ? Is your values your comfort or eternal life for others? Those are questions that we should look at and reflect on when we think about Moses. His value was to follow the Lord, even though he had all these inadequacies and he looked at himself negatively and he had these quirks that he was insecure about. He wanted to honor God, and he ended up being obedient, even though it was a rough go at first. He ended up being obedient, and that was holding to his values. So what? Build your legacy. I hope that as I preach and teach and not just you, but as it goes online, and who knows, once it's on the internet, who knows where it goes. You know, one of my messages someday could be in like some other country, some place that I never knew even had internet, and somebody could come to Christ from a message. Think about that. And I won't know until someday we both get to heaven and they're like, oh, I heard your message. Like, really? Yeah. Some missionary in a jungle showed it to me. You know what I mean? You don't know. But what is the legacy that you're leaving behind for generations to come? Next week, we're going to explore the story of David. Good old David. A leader whose legacy is marked by a heart after God. If Abraham teaches about faith and Moses shows about the power of courage, David will remind us the importance of seeking God with all of our hearts. I say this all the time, and I will always say this. God cares so much about your heart, less about your stuff, more about your heart. It's a heart thing. When we pray, it's about the heart. When we give, it's about the heart. The choices we make, it's about the heart. He wants us to have a heart that seeks after him in all that we do. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for our time together as we look at Moses and his story and his obedience, despite his fears and the courage it took. So Father God, I ask you and I ask the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit to continue working in our lives and give us that courage, even though we have fears and we worry and we make excuses for ourselves of why we can't do it and because of our own inadequacies and our own insecurities. But Father God, I hope and pray that each and every one of us has the courage to step out in faith and be obedient. We know already that you will be there by our side and help us through those moments, but it still takes that first step. And we need to stand firm and build a legacy in our community and in the people that we come in contact with. Father God, I pray for each and every one of the people here in this church listening today and fellowshipping with us. I pray that you will bless them and to give them the courage to step out in faith so we can see the community change towards you. There's a lot of things going on in this community, Lord, and this area, this upper country needs you. But the only way this community will hear about you is through the faithfulness of your people. So, Father God, as we go out into our week, I pray that you will give us those courage and that confidence in you to step out in faith. And we say these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please rise and let's worship our song together. And it's one of my favorites.